Amen. Good morning. God bless you. You know, yesterday was a day quite unlike any other day that we've had for quite a few months. It was a day where every single one of us in the family had a day off. Joe wasn't training, Debbie wasn't working, I wasn't working.
What the hell do you online?
Jane always works.
She was
They tell me her work is never done. So we decided we'd just do something different yesterday, and we'd take ourselves off and spend a bit of time on the beach as a family. And I was just lying on one of the beds on the beach, and I was reading my Bible and just praying and seeking God for a scripture. And I read some words, and as I read these words, you know, the Lord just began to show me something which, now I've read this scripture quite a few times, and let's read the scripture first together, and then I'll go on and say something about it. In 2 Timothy, chapter 1 and verse 5, I believe Brother Joe's got it on the screen for us, yes? You know, Paul's writing to this young man, Timothy, and he said that he begins to say that he's thanking God for him. And he says here in verse 5, he says, look, he says, when I call to remembrance, yeah, he's filled with joy, he's giving thanks to God for when he calls to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, he says. He says, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. You know, here Paul's thanking God for Timothy, for his life, for what he has. And he says, look, he says, I'm calling to remembrance. He says, I remember Lois, your grandmom. He says, she had it. And he says, and your mother, Eunice, yes, she had it as well. He says, you've got it. And he's talking about this this heritage of faith that Timothy had. And he's thanking God that Lois and Eunice had something which was evident in this young man, Timothy. You know, this young man that Paul was mentoring for the ministry. This young man that God was raising up. You know, Paul was privileged, and I was going to say the word proud, but you know what I mean. Not a pride that is all puffed up, but you know, this Paul could say that he's proud of this young man that he's encouraging in the things of God. You know, what God began to show me is that, you know, every single one of us, doesn't matter who we are, you know, we are here for a purpose. God's placed us on this earth. You know, when we were born again, God could have just, the moment we were born again, he could have just zipped us off into heaven. But he didn't. He left us here for a purpose. And I believe part of that, yes, it's a purpose to reach the world, but I believe another purpose, and I believe this is from the scriptures, is that we stay here because we have got to leave a legacy for the next generation. We've got to leave a legacy for those that will come after us, should Jesus tarry. You know, and we see it in this scripture. You know, because here Paul's saying, look, he says, your grandmother Lois, she had faith. You know, she was a woman of faith, a woman that, you know, lived her life in accordance with what God said. You know, she handed that on to Eunice. She handed it on to her daughter. And then together, mother and grandmother, you know, began to hand on what they had, what they experienced, what they had learned, what they had come to prove. They'd handed that on to young Timothy. And Timothy grew up surrounded by these, now I'm going to say these women of God, but they were his family members. who encouraged him, who educated him, who mentored him, who passed on all that they had learned. In actual fact, that was the Jewish way. That was the way, because Moses instructed, or God instructed through Moses, that this is what they should do. And I just want to go to a scripture in Deuteronomy. Just listen to this. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I want to read to you just three verses, verses 6 to 9. Here Moses is proclaiming to this great nation, you know, that they've come out of Egypt. I believe at this time they were already in, or they're just about to enter into the promised land. And, you know, Moses is giving them the instructions of what they're to do when they go into the land. And he begins recounting, you know, what God has brought them through, what he's led them through, and how they're going to go into this land, and how they're going to be blessed, and what they're to do. And he says here in chapter 6, verse 6, he says, "These words which I command you today shall be in your heart." Then listen to this. He says, "You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." You know, what God was giving instructions to his people there was that they were to pass on the things that they had heard, the things that they had learned. They were to talk about the word of God with their children. They were to talk about the goodness of God, how God had brought them up out of the land of Egypt. You know, they were to recount these stories of God's deliverance, the stories of God's provision. They were to talk about how God had met their needs. They were to be an example to their families. And he says, don't just talk about it. He says, talk about it when you're up, when you lie down, when you eat, when you're resting, when you're walking. You know, talk about it all the time. Actually, Moses went on to say, he says, look, don't just talk about it. He says, put the word of God on the doorposts of your houses. Put it up around your homes. You know, let your young people, your children, he says, let them see who God is and what he has done for you. You know, and this was the way they passed on the heritage that they had. You know, and Lois and Eunice, Timothy's grandma and mother, were no different. They were godly women that passed on the heritage of faith. You know, the scripture says this in the Proverbs. It says that a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. A good man or a good woman leaves an inheritance. That doesn't necessarily mean that they leave in a financial inheritance. You know, this word here, inheritance, can also talk about moral stability. Can talk about the instruction and training in righteousness. You know, we must leave an inheritance, not just for our children, but for our children's children. In actual fact, when God talked about the generations, he talked about to the third and fourth generations. You know, we are to leave a legacy. In other words, what God said to me yesterday morning, we are here to make our mark on society. To leave our mark. The heritage, this is the same verse I just quoted in. Sorry, this is a verse from Proverbs 13, verse 1. It says this. In one of the modern translations, the Bible in Basic English, says, "The heritage of a good man is handed down to his children's children." Sorry, that's verse 22. Proverbs 13, 22. We're all making mistakes this morning, Richie. The heritage of a good man is handed down to his children's children. You know, it's our responsibility. It's your responsibility to hand down, not just to your children, but to be an example to others as well. You know, I'm getting to that stage in my life. And it's a stage where I'm looking to be able to pass on what I have and what I know to others. Now, I actually made a promise to God many years ago, and it's a promise that I've tried to keep. I made this promise to God that whatever God showed me, whatever he showed me from his word, that I would pass it on to somebody. When I made that promise, I was thinking more through teaching or preaching. You know, but I've come to the realization over this last 2 or 3 years that it's not just about teaching and preaching. You know, we've got to pass on what we've learned from God to our children, to others. And I look for opportunities whereby I can share with people, mainly the younger generation, you know, what God has shown me, what he's revealed to me. Because young people need to be mentored. And I trust under God that I'm a mentor. Not mentor. A mentor. Yes. You know, and it's easy to talk about our children. You know, those of us, but there may be some of us that don't have children. We don't have our own. But we can find someone that we can encourage, that we can share with. We can pass on the wealth of wisdom that God has given to us. You know, I want us to look this morning. I wasn't going to do this, but the Lord just prompted me while I was at home this morning. And that I preached a message 2 or 3 years ago in our church in the UK when we were there. Actually, it was a message I preached on Mother's Day. So it was focused around mothers. And I just want to borrow a few things from that message this morning and just share them with you. Because mothers and fathers, if I say the word mother this morning, please don't just, I'm not just talking to mums. I'm talking to fathers, actually I'm talking to us all. As I said, this was a Mother's Day message, so I've got mother in the in my notes. But here's some things just to make you smile. This you know, the Bible says a merry heart does good like a medicine. You know, it's good to laugh. Now, I'm very serious, particularly when it comes to the Word of God. But I do like to have a smile and a laugh and a joke, but let me just give some things here, some things for you to think about. You know, mothers teach us a lot about foresight, planning ahead. Have you ever heard your mother say something like this? Make sure you're wearing clean underwear in case you have an accident. Mothers teach us about logic. They will say something like this. If you fall out of that tree, don't come running to me after you've broken your neck. What about maturity? If you eat all your vegetables, you will grow up. But then at the same time, they teach us contradictions. Shut up and eat up. Or shut your mouth and eat up. They teach us valuable lessons about perseverance. Because after they've told us to shut our mouth and eat our dinner, they tell us we're going to sit there until we eat every last bit. Just one more. I've got a list, an A4 page long, but just one more here. They teach us about the circle of life. A mother might say this, I brought you into this world and I can take you out. Now, I've heard most of those from my mother. But, you know, mothers, one great responsibility of the mother is to teach and train her children. And one responsibility of any parent or any one of us is to teach and train those that are coming after us. To mentor them, to encourage them, to build them up. And it was no different for Lois and her Lois and her daughter Eunice, mother and grandmother to Timothy. But I want us to show, how can we encourage those that are coming on after us? How can we make our mark? Well, we live our lives as an example to them. You know, actually, Paul went on to Timothy in verse 6, and he told him, he says, I want you to stir up the gift that's in you. You know, fan it into flame. You know, keep it burning. How do we do that? By practicing the things that God has shown us. Another scripture in that same chapter in Timothy in verse 13, and I touched on this last Sunday night in our studies that I'm doing on Psalm 119, and I'd encourage you to come along and just see what God says about his own word. This whole Psalm 119, on a Sunday night as we go through this series of teaching. See what God says about his own word. You know, God places his word very high. That's Sunday night, so I'm not getting into that this morning. But I quoted on Sunday, last Sunday, this scripture in verse 13 of 2 Timothy chapter 1. And here, Paul writes, he tells us to hold fast and follow the pattern of wholesome and sound teaching, which, he says, you've heard from me, in all the faith and love which are for us in Christ Jesus. Then he says in verse 14, I believe it is, he says, guard and keep with the greatest care the precious and excellently adapted truth which has been entrusted to you. You know, the things that Timothy learned, Paul told him to guard it, to keep it, you know, to hold fast to it, to follow it. How does he do that? By living it and allowing it to be an example to others. Now, I want us to turn this morning very quickly. And I want us to look at one woman in the scriptures who showed the way that we can leave an example for those that are going before us. Have you got the scripture in Matthew 20, please, Joe? Matthew 20. Just 3 or 4 verses from this chapter. Matthew 20, verse 20. We're going to see the example of this woman, a mother, who showed her two boys how to live. You know, she encouraged them in the things of God. That may not be quite apparent as we read, but I will go through and explain. Matthew 20:20. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him, from Jesus. And Jesus said to her, what do you wish? And she said to him, grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on your left, in your kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, you do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said to him, we are able. So he said to them, you will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father. You know, parenthood is part of God's creative plan to reveal his love for mankind. Have you ever wondered why God put you in a family? Now, I know you might think that, well, you could choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. And some of us might think, well, some of our families might be better off if some members weren't there. And you know, there's always one in the family that drives us mad. You know that. We've all got them. And we all look at our families and think, well, surely somebody's made a mistake somewhere. But God's put us in families. God's given us our families. Whether we whether we like them or not, God has given us our families. And they're part of His plan. So that His love can be shown. Particularly our mothers. And our fathers. You know, a mother has a great capacity to love even what may be naturally unlovely. Everybody in the world might think that their a child is horrible, but a mother loves that child. A great capacity to love. Does that sound like someone you know? God, a great capacity to love what's unlovely. I mean, He loved me. He loved you. When we were in our sin and away from Him, were we lovely? Uh-uh. But God loved us. And we remembered this morning that He sent Jesus to be our Savior. A mother's love for the most. I know there might be a few exceptions, and thankfully these are the exceptions. But a mother's love is unconditional. A mother's love looks beyond the faults. Doesn't that sound like God? Someone who loves unconditionally. Someone who looks beyond our faults and loves us still the same. I believe the love that God gave mothers is His own dear love. His own love that He has. You know, a mother has a capability to give life. You know, we owe, and we should owe, and we should honor and respect our mothers. Maybe they've gone on before. Maybe our mothers are no longer with us. But, you know, well, it's scriptural to honor our fathers and our mothers. We should honor those that are above us in the things of God. You know, and as young people, you know, I don't have the time this morning just to go through and give you scriptures, but if you want to see some scriptures, just read the first four chapters of Proverbs. See how many times the wise preacher, he says, "My son, listen to what I'm telling you. My son, pay attention to my words. My child, my son, my child. Listen to what your father says. Listen to your mother." You'll find in those first four chapters alone. Actually, I think if you go through, I think you'll find it's the first seven chapters where he's talking. He talks to his children. Listen to what I've got to tell you. You know, young people, find out what God says. Listen to those, to your mother. Honor your mother. Honor your father. Honor those, your pastor. Honor those that have responsibility to teach you and train you. Because they're trying to impart something to you. And I want us to see from this chapter in Matthew. You know what? The mother of James and John imparted to her two boys. Now, from the initial reading, you might look at it and say, well, this is just a mother trying to get the best for her boys. Trying to work her way into the affections of Jesus. Jesus, can you grant that these two boys are mine? They're nice boys. You know, they're the best boys. I know perhaps they've slipped up, but really underneath, they're good lads. You know, can you just see to it, Jesus, that one sits on your right and the other on your left when you come into your kingdom? And that's what it appears at first reading. But as you just look deeper into this, these few verses here, you'll see that the mother of James and John, she taught her boys how to approach God. What does it say here in the scriptures? It says the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons. kneeling down and asking something from him. She knew how to get, how to approach Jesus. If she wanted to get the best in life, to approach the one who is able to give it. She made a point and she came to Jesus. You know, she knelt down and worshipped him. You know, moms teach us all manner of lessons. Now, that is spiritually head of the house. But mom is manager. That's scripture. That's what the scripture teaches. Dad is head of the house, but mom is head of the home. And she has a vital influence in the family. Now they both do. The fathers are told not to provoke their children to wrath, but to train them up in the admonition and fear of the Lord. But mom teaches the children all manner of lessons. But the greatest lesson is that we come to Jesus with our needs. We come to him with our concerns. We come to him with our cares. We come to him with our desires. You know, she approached Jesus and kneeling down, she worshipped him. That shows us that she had the right attitude. And children pick up and learn this very quickly. Particularly from their mothers. She taught her boys how to show respect to God. She showed it through her practical way of actually kneeling down at his feet. You know, when we approach God, we should give him honor and worship. You know, one of the greatest things we can teach anybody, particularly our children or those that we're looking to impart to. One way we can make our mark on the next generation is to show them or teach them to have respect for God, to worship him and honor him in all things. When she comes to Jesus, says she asks something from him. She teaches her boys how to appeal to God, how to ask him. She comes in the right way. She comes in the right attitude. This prompts Jesus to ask a great question from her. You know, what do you wish? You know, Jesus said that a few times to a few people. You know, what is it you want? What can I do for you? What do you wish? And that is an open question, isn't it? You know, what do you want? Of course, he asked Solomon the same question. God asked Solomon the same question. And Solomon asked, God, that I might judge your people right. I might judge them fairly with justice. What a thing to ask. What do you want? That I might bring up my children in the right way. That I might impart the things you're showing me, Lord, to others. You know, when she comes to Jesus, she sees, and he asks this question, we see that her response and we see that Jesus is interested in every area of our life. You know, she's looking out for her boys. She wants them to get on in life. Maybe they're looking for a position in the kingdom of God, and maybe they misunderstood, but we see that Jesus is interested in our needs. He wants us to tell him what's on our heart. She was honest to Jesus. Did you notice that? She's honest. She wants her sons to have prime position. She doesn't hide that from him. And very often when we come to God, you know, we come and perhaps trying to hide something. But there's no point trying to hide anything from God because he knows us anyway. We might be able to hide it from our mom or our dad or our husband or our wife or our children or our friends. We might be able to hide it from the pastor or those we meet in church, but we can't hide it from God. So we've got to be honest with him. And she was honest with Jesus. God wants us to be transparent and honest. And it's only then that he can speak to us and work in our hearts in a real way. Only then, when we're honest with ourselves before God, will we be in a position to be able to impart something to somebody else. After that request, where she says, I want you to grant my two boys to sit one on your right and the other on your left. This passage doesn't record anything else about her, about what she said or what she did. And that shows us something else. She knew the right time to be silent. Could it be that she suddenly became aware of what she had said and to whom? What she had asked? But you know, following Jesus comes at a cost. And people often think that they know what it means to follow him, but then they suddenly become aware of who he is. And what they first thought, and you suddenly realize that, what can you say then? Nothing. Her silence taught her boys to count the cost and take responsibility themselves. Could they drink of the cup that Jesus was asking? And they said yes. But there comes a time when if we want to impart something to somebody else, we've got to teach them, in love of course, when to shut up, when to be quiet, when not to say anything, when to say nothing is saying everything. You know, the scripture says this, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. You know, the more we speak, we can dig ourselves into a big hole. We can sin a lot the more we say. I've been accused of saying too little. People say, well, you should say something. Well, when there's something to say, I will say it. I've seen firsthand people that say much and then instantly regret it. Because they're speaking, and suddenly they realize they said something they shouldn't have said, and then they've got to try and backpedal, and they try and work their way out of it, or they... Because very often when they're saying things like that, they're in a state of heightened rage or anger, or they're saying something in a discussion or an argument, and then it's too late. Watch your words. Count your words. Her silence taught her boys to count the cost. Then lastly, quickly, Salome's, or this mother's, silence shows us that she didn't argue, she didn't discuss, she didn't try and debate with Jesus about why he should accept her request. That shows us the last thing. If we're going to impart something to somebody else, our children or someone else, teach them that God's word is final. What God says is final. Amen. It's not what we say. We take them to the one, point them to Jesus. Train up a child in the way it should go, the scripture says. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Mom, dad, Christian, brother, sister, we've got a great legacy to leave for the next generation. You know, look to someone. Find someone that you can impart what God has shown you. Train them up. Raise them up. If we train up a child that way, not just a child, anybody, look at someone that is in need, a new Christian. When they get older, you know, you'll be so glad that you're instrumental in the hands of God. They'll be glad. You know, I could count many... I haven't got time to tell you this morning, but many examples of lessons I've learned from my mum, from my dad, from others at Sunday school, where they've taught us the things of God. You know, I'm grateful to them. You know, and the people that we proclaim, we talk to, people that we encourage, will be glad. Now, you may remain nameless, but the Lord will see it and reward you openly. Amen.
Let's give a hand to the Lord. Amen.